That was good. Would you pray with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are so good. God, I thank you that when we know you, we know that you're faithful, that God is always the invitation that we can come to you, Father, with our burdens, with our hurt, with our brokenness, God, and we can find rest. God, that means we can find our peace in you, Lord. God, I know with as many people that are in here and watching this right now, I know there are a lot of us where our minds are already running towards the things that we've got to do after this is over. A lot of us aren't even here present in the room. Our minds are already on Monday morning and what's going to hit us at the office or what's going to hit us at home. God, I pray like only you can through your spirit inside of us. God, would you quiet our minds? Father, would you still our hearts so that we can hear from you, Lord? God, as we open up your word together, show us, teach us what it looks like to find our rest in you, to walk and do life with Jesus at his pace. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, amen. Hey, well, thank you so much for being here. Everyone in the room, everyone watching on our stream, and of course, all of our folks over at our multi-sites, we are glad that you're here at Sagebrush this weekend. Now, before we jump into the message for today, though, a couple things I want to let you know about, because next weekend's going to be a fun weekend for us here at Sagebrush, okay? So next weekend is obviously, it's Father's Day weekend. So listen, I know Mother's Day is a big deal, as it should be, but dads, you matter too. So make sure you're here at Sagebrush. At all of our locations, we're going to be giving out a really cool Sagebrush screwdriver set to all the dads that are here. So dads, make sure that you're here. Bring dad with you. Have a lot of fun thanking and celebrating dads next weekend with us together. And then coming up this next Saturday, June 15th, is the Sagebrush Auto Show. Okay, so great thing to do with dad as well. Man time. I'm kidding, it's family time, so make sure you're here. That's gonna be here at the Riverside campus. It's gonna be a lot of fun. This is a totally free event. We're gonna be raffling off a really cool 2008 Dodge Charger, so you can find out more information about the auto show on our website or on our Sagebrush app, okay? And then last, and certainly not least, we're really excited because next weekend, Todd is gonna be back to start a brand new series called Treasure Hunt. Check this out.
The drive, the pursuit, the hunt is on. What are you searching for? What is the one thing you need? It's never enough. Are you the treasure, or will you just continue the hunt? Join us for our newest series.
So you got plenty of reasons to be here. Don't miss out as we start in on this new series next week, okay? Now, that's next week. We are here today, so let's hop into the message, okay? Hey, I want to ask to kind of start things off. I want us to begin by kind of reflecting on the week. I hate to be a downer. Monday's coming, all right? It's showing up too fast for a lot of us. It's the end of the week for a lot of us. So I want you to think, with everything you did over the last 6 or 7 days, all the meetings you had, all the places you went to, all the chores and things that you did, and all the errands you had to run, I'm just curious, just by a show of hands, and multi-sites, play along with me too. I want to see who's my friend in this room, all right? I'm just curious, when you think about this being the end of the week and everything you've done, just by a show of hands, raise your hand. Anyone else tired? Anyone exhausted? Anyone tired? Yeah, good. We can be friends. I like this. We can be friends. How about this? Let me ask you to think about this for your life too. Is anyone else like me? And when you go to bed at a reasonable hour, at a good time, but when you wake up in the morning, you're exhausted and you hit the snooze button. Anyone hit the snooze button? Anyone hit it again? Anyone hit it again? Anyone have your wife hit you because you keep waking her up? Yeah, just me? No? How about this? Is anyone currently, raise your hand if you are currently sitting next to somebody who is taking a nap right now. I'm just kidding. Put your hands down. That would hurt my feelings. Put your hands down. If they are, do me a favor because we're friends. Give them a nice for me, all right? That's from Tim. So I say all that because let's just be honest. We know we need rest. I think most, maybe even all of us would admit that we need more rest than we are currently getting, right? Which I think is funny because the day and the age that we live in, we have all this wonderful technology that promises to make life easier, to simplify things for us, to automate our lives. And yet, we somehow manage to fill up our schedules, our days down to the very last minute. We should be more rested than we are. We should be less stressed than we actually are. But my guess is that if you and I, if we looked at your schedule over the last 6 or 7 days, you would see this, that it was so full that it really, it's not time that's flying, it's us. It's you and me. And that makes sense, right? With all the stuff that we have to do, it's easy for things in our lives to kind of pile on, to add up, right? Like when you think about all the stuff that you've committed to do with your friends, all the stuff that you've committed to do with and for your kids, when you think of everything that's piling on you at work, all the responsibilities that are stacking on top of each other, and now kind of the work is spilling out into your personal life, when you think about all the volunteer commitments you've made, for some of you, it's been months since you've been called mom. You're called Uber now, because you do nothing but drive kids around, right? To school, to practice, to games, to movies, to hanging out with their friends. And in the middle of all that, you somehow have to find time to feed these kids. And just as important, because you matter too, you need to eat. But if you're like me, you're too busy to eat. And so every morning, if you're like me, you pick up a cold cup of coffee left over from the pot yesterday, and you run out the door. Because there's doctors to see, there's errands to run, there's cleaning and chores and housework that has to happen. I don't know about you, I'm out of breath just thinking about it. Anyone else tired just thinking about everything that you have to do on a regular basis? And yet we would look at that and call that normal. Most of us look at our schedules and go, well, yeah, that's just life. Is it? Is that what you and I want to call our standard for living? Is that really living, running around like that? Because truth be told, I know that Jesus said that he came so that you and I could have a full and an abundant life. I don't think he meant full and an abundant schedule. That's what I want us to think through for a little bit, because over the last few weeks in this room, man, we've been asking this question, what if? What if, as followers of Jesus, what if we actually followed Jesus? What if you and I took some of the things that Jesus has said are right, true, and good for our lives and actually put them into practice? What could change in our lives? What if? And so today, as we close out this series, I want to end by asking one really simple question. What if we rested? What if you and I figured out how to do life at the pace that Jesus has set for us? What does it look like to walk with Jesus? Because we know we need to rest. We just don't do it, do we? I mean, let's be honest. Do you like the person you are when you're not rested? I don't like who I am when I'm not rested, right? Because when we're not rested, we don't make good decisions, do we? I mean, you're worn out, you're tired, you don't see things the way that they really are. It's hard to process. And so if you're like me, some of us, we've made some really bad calls for our lives during seasons of life where we weren't rested. We were working too hard, we were doing too much. And because of that, we compromised. We made some bad decisions. We did some things that we knew were wrong. We were just too tired to keep fighting the good fight. When you're not rested, how about this too? When you're not rested, you're not present for the people that you love most in this world, your friends and especially your family. Sure, you end up in the same room as them, but you're not really with them. You know what I mean? Because truth be told, for most of us, after a busy day, stressful day at work, running all over the place, running errands, all we want to do when we get home, let's be honest, is just to melt into the couch, disappear into our phone, get distracted by whatever's on the TV because we're done. We're cooked. When we're not rested, hear this, when we're not rested, we're not at our best, simply put, right? We're exhausted. We're running on fumes. We are running on empty. We have said yes to too many things. And so now today, we're just more tired than we were yesterday. And that's what's going to happen again tomorrow. See, I say all this because truth be told, in my own life, there have been some people in my life that have walked up to me, maybe like they have to you, and said, hey, you need to slow down. This pace you're running, it's good. It's hard work, but it's not sustainable. You need to stop. You need to find time to rest. And if you're like me, when people say that to you, what first comes to mind? You start thinking of all the things that you want to do, all the things that you want to be in this life and all the work it's going to take to get where you want to go and do all the things that you want to accomplish and build in this world. If you're like me, you look back at people like that and you say, oh, don't worry, I'll rest when I'm dead. That was my motto for years. Actually, I used to think that was something worth bragging about. I used to think it was worth bragging about to say, no, I can outwork anybody. And then I slowed down long enough to see what Jesus really actually says about this thing called rest. And come to find out that mentality that we have, that I'll rest when I'm dead, that's not worth bragging about. That's not praiseworthy. It's not good and it's not wise. Truth be told, saying that I'll rest when I'm dead is simply pride in disguise. Because it's this belief that I can do all the things that everyone wants me to do all the time, that I am limitless, that I matter, that I am more important than everyone else. I have to do this. To think that I'll rest when I'm dead, that is you and me simply being a product of our culture that says, if you want to matter, you better be busy. But did you know that when we live life at that pace, when we don't take time to rest, when we don't take a day off, do you know what God calls that? Sin. Black and white. This is not a moral gray area to God at all. It's a sin to not rest according to God. In fact, rest is such a big deal to God. Did you know that it makes his top 10? It is in the Ten Commandments that you and I take a day off to rest. Here's the order. I think this is really crazy to me, okay? Because the first three are simply this. The first commandment is to have no other gods. That makes sense. Sounds really important. Baseline for us. Let's stick with that. Number two, though, have no false idols. Okay, still in line. Very important. Number three, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Cool. All those have to do with God. Okay, number four, it's got to be don't murder. That's important. It's not. It's rest. It doesn't even make God's top 10. It's actually in God's top 5. The fourth commandment is that you and I would rest. Look at how God explains this command to us in the book of Exodus. God says this. He says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. See, you and I have been told very clearly that you need to take a day off. It's called Sabbath, but you need to take a day where you stop working and you rest. Here's the most interesting thing about this command to me. Did you notice how much God had to explain it to us? It's kind of a long explanation that I just read of this fourth command to rest. God doesn't do that with every other commandment. No, some of the other commandments that you think would be important, like don't murder, don't steal, don't covet and be envious and jealous, God just says don't do those things and expects us to understand. But rest, he has to explain it to us. It's almost as if God understands that rest is going to be a different kind of challenge for you and me. It's almost as if God already knew that you and I wouldn't take this command to rest. We wouldn't take it as seriously as the other commands. And I know that's true, actually, because if you walked up to me today after service and said, hey, Tim, how was your week? If I looked back at you and said, it started out rough, but it ended pretty good because, you know, I lied to people, I stole from people, I cheated people out of their money, you wouldn't high-five me on that one, right? You would judge me, rightfully so. You would stop trusting me because that's a big deal. That's a command that I broke. If I looked back at you and said, well, the week started out rough, but, you know, it got so much better. You know, I started so angry at my boss, so resentful towards him, and everything got better because, you know, I killed him. Done. Again, no high fives for Tim. I get a pair of handcuffs because I go to jail for that because I broke that command. We know that's serious. But if I looked at you and said, well, it's just a rough week because I didn't rest, I didn't have time, I didn't take a day off, you wouldn't think twice about that. You'd probably look at me and go, yeah, I know what that's like. Me too. That's just life. And yet, according to God, so clearly, if I haven't rested, then I've sinned. See, before we unpack this too much further, I need you to hear this, that rest is not just a physical thing for our bodies that we need. According to God, rest is a deeply spiritual issue. And so it matters so much to God. Because God knew that if he didn't command us to rest, that we would forget. That you and I would easily forget that life is about more than our jobs, more than our work, that life is about more than just doing lots of things. That's not really living. In fact, God gives us this command. He looks at us and tells us to rest to stop us from becoming workaholics. I'm sure all of us have heard that term before, and I want to note something about this, okay? You can be a workaholic without working. Or without having a job. And what I mean by that is anything in your life that gets too much of your time and your energy, anything in your life that stops you from really resting can make you into a workaholic. So no matter what age or stage of life you're in, you can be a workaholic because you can be a workaholic when it comes to your job, but you can also be a workaholic when it comes to your hobby and your passions. You can be a workaholic when it comes to your kid's schedule or your social calendar. It doesn't matter. We're all capable of becoming workaholics. I was actually reading a book about this by James Emery White. He's another pastor, and he makes some really interesting insights that I wanted to pass on to you that I really thought were important from him. He first notes this. He starts by talking about this word workaholic. The reason we have that term in the first place is because a lot of us treat work like a narcotic, like a drug. For some of us, work is compulsive, isn't it? It is difficult for us to slow down, to manage it, to maintain, to even pull back from work. And then he goes on to explain that there are different types of workaholics. There's a few different ways this plays out in our lives. Let's see if you can relate to any of these types. Maybe this has been you or is you. The first type of workaholic is an identity workaholic. This is where you wrap up your value, your self-worth. You tie that, you wrap that up in your job. And so for you, in your mind, if you're not working, if you're not working a lot, if you're not hitting the metrics, if you're not hitting the goals and achieving everything you're supposed to achieve at work, you panic because maybe that might comment on your value to other people that you bring. This kind of workaholic works obviously too much because they live for the praise, they live for the applause, they live for the attaboys. It's easy for this type of workaholic to become a perfectionist because, man, if my work isn't perfect, maybe I'm not, and I can't have that. I got something to prove. It's easy for this type of workaholic, you might relate to this, it's easy for this type of workaholic to become a people pleaser. I'll lay it on the line for you guys. This has actually been a big motivator in my life for too long. This type of workaholic wants to please people because, again, they want the attaboys. This type of workaholic will say yes to everything that everyone expects of them, whether it's their boss, their kids, their parents, their friends, their neighborhood, their neighbors, their spouse. They will say yes to everyone else at the detriment of them. That's an identity workaholic. How about this? Some of us are situational workaholics. This is when you have a situation at work or at home that causes you, that you use to justify why you work so much. So it could be anything from like, it's going to be a busy season at the office to it's cheer season with my kids, but there's always something else that has to happen because the situation just demands it. There's another email, there's another project, there's another trip to take, there's another task to do, but the work never ends. Maybe for you, the situation that causes you to work too much, it's not at the office, it's at home. So you stay late working at the office late at night, or you bring work home with you because what's going on at home, you don't like, it's uncomfortable. Because what home feels like it's out of control. Your marriage, your spouse feels out of control, your kids, your finances, those things feel out of control, but work, you can control, so you hold on to it. How about this? There's also the plain old, good old-fashioned materialist workaholics. That one's in the name, isn't it, right? You work and you work and you work so that you can buy and buy and buy. You are living to fill your schedule up with side gigs and the side hustles. You are living for that next raise because you are living for the status that comes from being able to buy the latest and the greatest. We call it retail therapy. But that's not what it is. It's a deeper issue than that. For a materialist workaholic, everything in your life could be falling apart, could be crumbling around you. But you've got this idea in your brain that, man, if I could just work enough, if I could just make enough money, then I can buy my way out of all my problems. If you're like me, you've been one or all three of those at some point in your life. If you're an overachiever, maybe like me, you've been all three of those at the same time. See, God knows that we have a leaning towards working too much. God knows he loves us enough to know that we're bad at resting. In fact, we have always been bad at resting. If you go all the way back to Jesus' time, the religious leaders of the day, they look at this one command. It's a single command from God for us to rest. And they got so freaked out that maybe people might work on the Sabbath day that these guys took this one command and they stacked on top of it 1,500 more rules to make sure nobody worked on the Sabbath. You know what that sounds like to me? A whole lot of work. So one day, Jesus and his disciples on a Sabbath day, they're walking through this field of wheat. And the disciples are doing something that's allowed for in Scripture, that God has allowed for. They're walking through this wheat field. After the harvest, there's been some wheat left behind. And God told the Israelite people, the Jewish people, that they should do that in case people were hungry. And so the disciples and Jesus, they're walking through this wheat field. They're plucking the heads of grain. They're rubbing it between their hands, and they're snacking on it. This doesn't break God's command to not work, his command to rest. It did break the rules that the Pharisees had. So the Pharisees, they get all up in arms about this. They get really upset. They pull Jesus aside and say, "You explain this to us. Why are your disciples, why are they working on the Sabbath?" And I love Jesus' response. This is actually one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it tells us so much about what we're talking about. Look at Jesus' response in the book of Mark. It says this, "Then he," Jesus, "then he said to them, The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. So make no mistake about this, okay? Jesus isn't letting us off the mat. It is still a command. You and I, as followers of Jesus, we must rest. To not rest is to sin. But do you hear what Jesus is getting at here? Jesus is saying that God gave you and me this command to Sabbath, to rest. He didn't do that to burden you. God didn't give us this command to rest to oppress us. I know for some of us, the idea of taking 24 hours in a week to stop working, for some of us, that makes us panic. The anxiety level, the worry level skyrockets inside of us. And Jesus is saying, that's not why God gave you this command to upset you. Jesus is saying that God gave us this command to rest because he loves you. Like a good father, this is like a good father talking to a tired child saying, hey, buddy, it's time to rest. It's time to slow down. God gave you this command as a gift and for your benefit, for your good. Here's what else I think is interesting. Did you catch it at the last half of that verse? Did you catch how Jesus tied himself into our rest? He said he was the Lord of the Sabbath. What would that look like for us? Today, to take one day out of the week to walk at Jesus' pace, to actually walk with Jesus. What would that look like for you and me to Sabbath? Well, let's go back to how this command is explained to us, how God explains his command to us in the book of Exodus. Remember how it started? It said, the Sabbath is a day. The Sabbath is a day to rest. Hear this. It is a full 24 hours where you stop working, which is all that word Sabbath means, by the way. Sabbath just means to stop. So if we're going to follow this command, if we're going to go at Jesus' pace, then you need to start having that conversation in your brain of which day of the week am I going to choose to stop? What day of the week am I going to stop working? And preferably, it needs to be the same day every single week. And if you're in here and you're married and you've got kids, hey, you are a family unit. That needs to be on the same day at the same time. But you need to pick one day, a full 24 hours where you stop working. I know as soon as I say that, the alarm bells are going off in some of our brains, right? You're going, Tim, that would be impossible for me to do. To take a full 24 hours off every single week, that's impossible. I used to believe that myself. Truth be told, it's not impossible. Hear this, it is a choice. It's a choice you have to make. Now, I'll meet you halfway. I agree that the decision to take a day off every single week to not work at all, that's going to be difficult. Especially in our culture that is all about do, 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 go, go, go. It's gonna be us going against the grain of culture, which is how we should live. But it's gonna be hard. It's gonna be difficult. You gotta hear this. For you to rest, it's gonna take work. It is. And again, that's why God explains this command to us in this way. Remember how he said, hey, remember, you have the other 6 days for work. You have the other 6 days for your job, for appointments, for errands, for cleaning, for lawn care. You have the other 6 days, but the seventh is mine and it's for you. It's for you to rest. And so I want to be clear about this. It's going to take work for you to rest. The other 6 days out of the week, you need to work like Sabbath is coming. In fact, that is a motto in my house over the last couple of years as my family, my wife, and my kids, as we've practiced Sabbath. The other 6 days when we're working like crazy, we look at each other and remind ourselves, Sabbath is coming. Sabbath is coming. And we say that with smiles on our faces because for the last 2 years, Sabbath has been the best day of the week for us. Trust me on this one. It is worth the work to rest. So Sabbath is a day to rest. Sabbath is also a day to refresh. Here's what I mean by that. That word Sabbath in Hebrew, it means to stop, but it can also mean to enjoy. So I want to be clear. When God gives you this command to rest in the Sabbath, he's not expecting you to sit at home on the couch doing nothing, hoping that you don't work by accident, like, oops. He wants you to enjoy this day. He wants the Sabbath to be a day where you stop working and you actively rest. You do some things on this day that remind you how good God has been to us, how good God has been to you. You do some things on this day to remind you that all good things come from God. So on this day of rest, you need to do some things that refill your tank, okay? So what would that be for you? For example, at my house, one of the things on Sabbath that refills my wife's tank is she likes to go for a run, okay? So one of the things that refills her tank is running. On Sabbath, one of the things that refills my tank is not running, because she's more spiritual than I am. But there is something about it for her. When she goes outside, when she gets some fresh air, when she starts running, man, it lets her put her mind at ease, at rest, while she runs and gets fresh air and gets sunlight and enjoys creation. You need to do some things on Sabbath that refill your tank. For me, maybe you're like me, it's taking the kids to the park. I love doing that, having fun with them. Maybe for you, what refills your tank on Sabbath is going for a walk or going on a hike. For others of us in here, what refills your tank is playing golf. I'll never understand that one. I played golf 10 years ago, and I'm still mad about it. Just saying. Maybe for you, it's something like cooking. Maybe for you, it's reading a book, just not reading about work. Don't find a loophole in this. But you need to do some things that you enjoy, because it's a day to rest, and it's a day to enjoy. Because think about this again, God explained to us already, he reminded us in this commandment that in 6 days he made everything in heaven and on earth. He made everything in 6 days, and then on the seventh day he rested, not because he had to, not because he needed to. For 6 days God worked, and then on the seventh day God set the work down and enjoyed it. You should too. So Sabbath is a day for you and me to rest. It's a day for us to refresh. Here's the third thing. Sabbath is also a day for us to reflect. All right? Again, we talked about this earlier, but Sabbath is more than just physical rest for us. Rest is deeply spiritual. So you need to spend time on Sabbath being still long enough, reflecting long enough to hear God's voice. Again, remember, go back to how God explained this commandment to us to rest. He told us, he reminded us that the Sabbath day is holy, that he set it apart. That's why for thousands of years, Christians have always included as part of their Sabbath rest, going to church. You need to come into a room like this on your Sabbath and spend time reflecting on how good God has been to you. We do that when we sing and when we worship him. You need to spend time on Sabbath, I don't know, learning what it looks like to really find your life as you give it away and you serve others here at church. You need to spend time on Sabbath also opening up God's word collectively with other believers and being taught by Jesus, being taught by the Lord of the Sabbath himself. Hear this, Sabbath is for reflection. It is for restoring your soul by being a part of this community that God calls church. And truth be told, that's it. I don't have 1,500 more rules to help you rest on Sabbath. I just have those three things. Actually, I lied. I have one more thing, and this is going to be the hardest thing to do. When it comes to Sabbath, don't forget it. Remember that command. It didn't start by God saying to keep the Sabbath holy. God said, remember. Remember to keep the Sabbath holy. That's God saying, don't get up out of this room and say, that's a nice idea, and then not do it. Don't get up out of this room, make a plan to Sabbath, and then slowly, week over week, month over month, you allow work to creep back into a day that God has set apart and made holy. Don't forget it. Remember the Sabbath. See, I say all this because, truth be told, I am no expert on rest. I'm actually hoping it's the other way around for me. I'm hoping that one day when I get to heaven, I get the most improved award in this area. I want that trophy. Because truth be told, until about 2 years ago, I was a ruthless workaholic. Think about what motivates you to work too much. It might be pride, it might be an insecurity, it might be a need for control. Whatever it is for you, I can pretty much guarantee you that was in the mix for me. For too long in my life, I worked long days, long hours. I worked every day, I worked all day. My kids are 7 and 5. I didn't figure this out till 2 years ago when they were 3 and 5. I missed so much time with them. There was zero margin in my life. When I didn't stay late at the office, I brought work home. And most days, I got up before my kids were awake. And I came back home after they were already asleep. And it wasn't until 2 years ago that all of my overworking finally blew up in my face. And I was made painfully aware of all the damage that I was doing, not just to me, but to them, to my family. You've got to hear this. When I say damage, I don't mean I missed a game. I don't mean I hurt their feelings a couple times. I mean there are things 2 years later that my family and I are still having to heal from. And so 2 years ago, my wife and I made the decision that we would treat this command to rest for what it is, a command. It's not optional. If I'm gonna follow Jesus, if I'm gonna lead my family well, it's not optional. We take a Sabbath. We rest. We enjoy. And so every day on the same day, sorry, not every day, but on the same day every week for the last 2 years, my family and I, we Sabbath. Our Sabbath, it starts at 6 p.m. at dinner time, and it does not end until the next day at dinner time at 6 p.m. again. Sun up to sundown doesn't count. It's sundown to sundown. It is a full 24 hours because that's what God commanded me. On Sabbath, if you come to my house, you will find that nobody is working. Nobody is doing chores. We've already done all that. If you come to my house, there is nobody cleaning at my house, not even my Roomba. He's my livestock. You know what I mean? On top of that, cooking does not fill our tanks at my house. And so at my house, nobody cooks on Sabbath. We have cereal for breakfast. We have sandwiches for lunch. And then to cap it all off, frozen lasagna for dinner. And we eat all of that off of paper plates and paper bowls. And we throw it all away so that nobody is tempted to clean a dish in my house on Sabbath. Outside of that, we turn off the screens. Phones go away. TVs are off. And then we do those three things that I see that God has told me to do on Sabbath with my family. I rest, I refresh, and I reflect. We do that as a family. We spend time every Sabbath on a weekly basis. We spend time refilling our tanks, refilling each other's tanks. We spend time with God's people. We're at church together. My kids are on Kids Planet. My wife is volunteering, and then they let me get up on stage and tell a couple of bad jokes. But we're with God's people. We're with his community. As a family on Sabbath, we restore our souls together. And maybe you don't believe me, but you got to hear this. As a recovering workaholic, I don't have enough time to tell you how good it's been. I forgot that I needed God's rest. I forgot how good God's rest is until I got it back in my life. See, what I think is really interesting is that when Jesus gets in trouble, more often than not, when Jesus got in trouble for working on the Sabbath, more often than not, the thing that he actually had done, he'd healed somebody on Sabbath. It's almost as if that's what Sabbath is for. And for me, the last 2 years, it's healing me. It's healing my family. Because I can go back to the very first day that we tried Sabbath. No, it wasn't perfect, but it was so good. We got to the end of a really awesome Sabbath day of rest with me and my family. And I went to go tuck my son Levi into bed. He was 3 or 4 years old at the time. I tucked him into bed. I knelt at his bedside. And together, me and Levi, we prayed. We thanked God for rest, for Sabbath. I said amen, and then I kissed him on the forehead like I always do. And then I stood up to walk out of the room. And as I did, my little boy looked at me and said, "Daddy, I like Sabbath. I wish we could do it again." And we will. Again and again. We will not forget the Sabbath. We will keep it holy. We will rest. We will enjoy. I know all the arguments that are going on in your head right now about why you couldn't do this. Tim, I could get maybe a day here, a day there, but the way my work is, the way things are going with my kids, that's impossible. There's no way. Because Tim, you don't understand my work. I have to work a lot, but this is how I provide for my family. I agree with you. Tim, with what's going on with my kids or with my family or things going on with the volunteer stuff that I've committed to, people are counting on me. I have to show up. I hear that. But all the reasons in your head right now that tell you that you're using to say that you couldn't do this, do they change how you answered the question we started today with? Are you tired? Are you tired of feeling like the weight of the world is on your shoulders? I was. Are you tired of the long days of work and the short, restless nights of sleep? Are you tired of feeling like you've got to prove everything to everyone, not just at work, but maybe even at home? Are you tired of trying to stay busy so that you can stay distracted? This was definitely me. Are you tired of feeling like you are one small move from everything falling apart and blowing up in your life? If you're honest and the answer to any of those questions is yes, I am tired, then hear the invitation from the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus, today. His invitation is this. It's in the book of Matthew. He simply says this: "Come to me. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." See, rest starts with him, begins with Jesus. It's when we walk at the pace that Jesus has set for us. So for just a second here, can we set aside the reasons why you think you can't do that? Could you just set that aside and answer the question honestly? Admit it. Are you tired? I never wanted to say that out loud because I always thought that if I said I was tired, that I had to admit that I was a failure. Is that how you feel? Like you couldn't hack it, like you couldn't keep up, like you're exhausted and burnt out and you're done, like you failed? Okay, the invitation still stands. Notice Jesus' response when you feel like you've messed up, like you got nothing left to give, his response to you is not, get away from me. His invitation is, come closer. Come next to me. Come walk with me. I'll show you how to walk. I'll give you a pace that you can walk. I'll give you a pace that's sustainable. I will give you the rest that your soul is longing for, the rest that you forgot you needed. Friends, you trust Jesus with your eternity. What if you trusted him to give you rest? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are so good. God, I know for a lot of us in here, we would say that we've been running, that we've been walking with Jesus, but the reality is we've been running way ahead of him. God, for some of us, we're trying to prove something to somebody. For others of us, God, we work so much because we're trying to hide the fact, we're in denial about the fact that there are some things that are broken deep, deep down inside of us. So God, on today, opening up your word and finding out what you're like and what Jesus is like, God, I pray that we would stop. Instead of running ahead of Jesus, that we would wait on him, that we would be still and know that you're the one that's in control of everything. God, teach us when we leave this place, teach us in really practical ways what it looks like to walk with you, to find rest in you. That God, you can heal the deepest parts of our lives when we do life with you, when we walk at Jesus' pace. God, I also know there are some of us in here that we didn't run ahead of Jesus, we ran away from Jesus, and we're looking for everything in this world to satisfy us. We are looking for everything in this world to give us what our souls long for, which is rest. Father, I pray that today would be the day that they come home, that they begin to walk with the Lord of the Sabbath himself, where they begin to walk with Jesus and find peace and rest for their souls. God, we thank you for the gift that is this command to rest. God, I thank you that we can find that in you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.